There's a tangle within. There's a tangle without. People are entangled in a tangle. Tell me, how do we untangle the tangle? So I was like, oh, this is interesting. This tangle is really interesting. And then I was like, this little poem, this little jingle, jangle, whatever we want to call it, right, was like 2,600 years ago, and they were talking this way. And I guess what pulled me in besides the language was the fact that, again, in 2,600 years, we have not learned how to untangle the tangle. We are still working with this.
Mindfulness Outreach Initiative is a nonprofit insight meditation organization located in Omaha, Nebraska. We provide meditation instruction based on ethics, compassion, and wisdom, as well as social outreach programs based on transformation and healing. To join the MOI community or to practice generosity, please visit our website at mindfulnessoutreachinitiative.org.
Good evening. Welcome. Let's take a minute or two to arrive, transition from whatever we were doing, traveling, talking, making dinner. Just checking in with our breath, just checking in with how we feel right in this moment. Maybe sending a message of compassion if you're not feeling grounded or a little iffy. Connecting with your breath, taking a deeper breath or two, just arriving. And when you're ready, just coming back, opening your eyes, and arriving into our space together. Again, so good to have you here. We're going to be talking about the conditioning of our mind tonight. There will be some time to reflect, some time to share if you so wish, not necessary. And we're going to case this or contain it around a sutta that I read recently called the Jata Sutta. But the first thing I want to talk about to open this sutta up before I share it is the word tangle. That's a predominant word in the sutta, tangle or entanglement. I looked up the meaning in the dictionary of it. I had a bunch of synonyms that come to mind for me, but when we're talking about tangled, we're talking twisted together into a confused mass. I thought that was interesting. When I first was playing with the word, confused showed up as a synonym, but I like how this dictionary said twisted together into a confused mass. And when we're talking about the conditioning of our mind, that rang true for me a little bit. Another definition was becoming involved in a conflict or fighting with. Just thinking about some of the words that come up when we're talking about tangle, synonyms. I want to give space for you to consider it like I have. I also thought of onomatopoeia, being a former English teacher, you know, words that sound like their meaning. And I thought tangle was kind of close. It's got this curve to it and entanglement even further. I'm going to go to the opposite. You know, I went to smooth. I was like, smooth, so entangled. So we're really going to investigate tonight this entanglement, the entanglement of our minds, what we get tangled up in, our relationship to it. And then Buddha's got a great solution, of course, of how we untangle the tangle. When we get a visual of entanglement, what comes to mind? Take a moment. So we've spent a little bit of time with words. Twisted. What did I come down with? Enmeshed. Trapped. Ensnared. What sort of visuals come to mind? Anything?
One of those cartoon ostriches, you know, like in the cartoons, they're coming along and they go, and pretty soon they're coming out of their own neck.
Yeah.
And they're tied up into a knot, you know.
I totally see that. First yes. thing that came to I mind. Love that. Yeah. Thank you. First thing that came to my mind was Christmas lights. You know, I think I do a pretty good job about winding them up now and putting them away correctly so I don't have to deal with that. But that was the first thing that came to my mind. Anybody else, these tangles like that we see in nature or in our lives? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of along those same lines. I thought of like headphones first.
Oh, yeah.
And what always kind of catches, or what caught my mind about that was that it seems like if you just leave them alone in a drawer in a bag, they become tangled. Like you have to take steps to avoid that happening. If you just kind of leave them be, it does become like a tangled mess almost on its own.
Yes, brilliant. Absolutely, absolutely. I was thinking of jewelry. If you've ever had, and especially ladies, maybe more a couple of necklaces, they're a little more delicate, or even guys, if you're traveling, you've got to find a way to separate them, either wear them. Nature, I think of trees with vines. Is entanglement always bad? Does it have a quality of good or bad? Yes, Kyle.
Crawford online says, trying to roll up the 100-foot extension cord. It's all tangled.
Yes. Yes. So it's these cords, these things are really long, these things that get out of control. They're not really compact. Like I can't think of anything compact that gets tangled. There's also our view of it. I mean, that's the beginning of the Eightfold Path is a lot of times looking at our view. We'll kind of investigate our self-view and then create space for that worldview. So not always looking at it from the self perspective. Where do we become entangled? I think that there are so many different ways that we can become tangled up in something. And so let's just pause a moment and do just a mini inventory, thinking about these feelings of being constricted, maybe confused, something that we're struggling with, something that is maybe has a tendency to be overpowering us right now. I think that could also be an element of entanglement or the tangle. Where can we become tangled or get entangled? We can do this in anything and everything that our mind thinks about. We can do this in places. We can become immersed, tangled at a store. If you shop on certain days or, you know, what do they call that? Black Friday. Thank you. So you can get tangled in if that's with other people. The view would all be self-serving because everyone's trying to get the best deal. Here you have all these people tangling together. We can get entangled at work. We can get entangled in our relationships, our emotions and feelings. We can get entangled in love, grief, anger. These are states of being. We can get entangled in traffic, family, an idea. Thinking about things that are really important to us or something that we have a hard time letting go of, any idea if we're not mindful of the inner critic and what the self-talk is. We can get entangled in that negative dialogue. We can get entangled in our suffering. And that may be why we might be here. We're curious about that. We've had some experience with meditation or mindfulness, or because it is such a popular thing right now, people are like, try this out. You know, we'll try anything to gain happiness, will we not? The search for happiness sometimes leads to suffering as well. We can get entangled in debt. A situation. Oftentimes, this is associated again with feelings of confusion, painful, trapped, stuck. And if we do not have the tools of the Dharma, of the suttas, of community, of this practice, specifically, I think mindfulness, Jonathan talked about mindfulness last week, we might not have a way to untangle or work with the tangles. And I think we can all probably recall something that we were deeply enmeshed in, that it was really hard to get out of. And maybe we're in that right now. That's a real possibility. I listed a lot of things that we can be get tangled up in. Did anybody have anything else that came to? Does everyone kind of have, you don't have to share, but does everybody have an idea of something that they perhaps right now are working with that they're tangled in? I do. That was really easy. The hard thing was picking which one. The Dharma is a way of untangling. When we're doing this investigation and reflection and we're sitting in meditation and sometimes we investigate our feelings and our emotions, and then they lead to deeper things. It's like we have an emotion that may lead to the source, which is what we're tangled up in. And sometimes it's hard to look at that, the source of what's causing the suffering, the unsatisfactoriness. Sensations, emotions are great. That's cracking the door open to that deeper shadow, deeper entanglement, so to speak. And you can use the five W's for a lot of things. Is this a who? Is this a what? Is this a how? Those kind of questions, I think, really help us when we're not quite sure what we're getting to. What causes entanglement? Anybody have any ideas there?
I mean, when I think of entanglement, I go back to like childhood traumas and other traumas that I've had. So that's still like thorns that are still there mm-hmm. that I keep plucking, but, you know, mm-hmm. still not fully. Yeah. Unplucked.
So your investigation.
Still like working through them. I mean, it takes years and years to work through your thorns and.
Yes, sister.
Climb your mountains and.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Lifetimes, some people say.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel when I hear you speak that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thorns. Thank
you. Yeah. Thorns is a great visual image. And it also speaks to Kimberly's reflection. And she's working backwards. She's doing that deeper investigation. Anybody else? Where does entanglement come from?
I think projection a lot of the time is projecting my concept on what is. And so I never really get to see it. Now I've invested a lot of energy into it that wasn't really there. So mm-hmm. I'm entangled. I get entangled.
Yes. Thank you for that.
I think clinging two things causes entanglement and not being able to let go of the things we cling to, whether they're healthy or unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. all really valid and true sources of our entanglement. And entanglement is another word for suffering. Honestly, it is. Our unsatisfactoriness, the roots of our suffering. Anybody online sharing anything?
One more comment. The world pulls us in so many directions. We get wrapped up in the directions.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Who can't relate to that? That's gold. Without mindfulness and being very conscious and aware of how we're moving through the world. I was teaching this earlier, that Viktor Frankl quote, between stimulus and response, there's a space. And in that space, there's the power to make a decision, to pause, to respond appropriately. And that speaks to that. But it's the common thing. We're just completely barraged all the time with different stuff. My answer to the question of what causes entanglement is karma, which is also folded into what you guys are saying. It's our own individual karma that we're working through that we haven't yet found a resolution to, our actions that we keep perpetuating until we clearly see that view, that window gets really clear and we can see ourselves through investigation. We can begin to see our past actions and how they repeat themselves. We also have this evolutionary karma that we are a part of, that's part of our trauma that Kimberly is speaking of with our families ancestrally. We have to be able to see that. We have to be able to have a view, as Dave says, outside of ourselves, our own perceptions, to be even in contact with that. And that takes time. It takes investigation. It takes sometimes lifetimes to be able to see. So karma really came to mind with my view of entanglement. Oh, I wrote down, if, this is kind of funny, if entanglement were a facial expression, what would it look like?
The brain.
Yeah, the brain, right? Is that not funny? Like, we don't need to make this into improv or anything, but I think Dave comes closest with the ostrich, like a twisted up face. It's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. It's like fully like embodying it. And what is our response to entanglement might look something like that. Or the emotions that we exhibit when we're thinking about it might feel like that. So looking at entanglement, just not from the intellectual view, but using the full onslaught of investigations that we're giving. Can we attach an emotion to it? Can we attach a feeling to it? A physical sensation. What does entanglement feel like as a physical sensation? Does it feel good? Sometimes we can't see that things don't feel good because we are in the habit of security. We are in the habit, you know, when we talk about karma, the evolutionary karma, if we look at that from a biological or just humanity, it's really slow. There's not really big changes because it's safe and secure and we move along. It's the cataclysmic changes that really wake us up. Death, birth, deep sadness and grief, loss. Those are the things that propel us, that wake us up, that allow for a deeper investigation, a deeper absorption into this human experience. It's a trip. What is your inclination when faced with a tangle? Do you approach it the same way? Is there the resistance, you know? And you can just think about that yourself, just as we thought about something that we might be currently tangled up in, entangled. How do we approach that? Do we put it in a room? Do we poke around?
What we resist persists, right?
We've all heard that. Gotta move it. You got it right. It's the ingest, digest, metabolize. We have to work with it. We have to poke at it and look at it to metabolize it and break that karmic habit. So there's a sutta. I promised a sutta. I read this a week and a half ago. And I was like, what a fun little sutta. So I'll talk about this next month when I talk about it again, but Access to Insight is a website. And so if you're interested in looking at suttas or looking them up, there's so many, but accesstoinsight.org. And I was on there for something, and you can just pick certain suttas or you can do a random sutta. Well, it speaks to mind. So I, you know, when I'm on there, every time I hit the random sutta, and sometimes it's like a 20-page one, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to come back to that, you know, or it doesn't pique my interest at the moment. And for some reason, this sutta piqued my interest. It was shorter, and it was fun. It was playful, and it was called the Jata Sutta. For just a little background, most suttas begin with, you know, everyone's hanging out. And all of these are the people that have just renunciated their lives and they're just following the path. And the Buddha's alive, and so, and there's all the Buddha's friends. They come up to the Buddha and they ask him questions because they're in their process like we do, and we're chatting. I think the Brahmin or dude was named Jata, so it's called the Jata Sutra. So he comes up to the Holy One or the Beloved or however it's usually introduced. And he comes up to the Buddha and he says, there's a tangle within. There's a tangle without. People are entangled in a tangle. Tell me, how do we untangle the tangle? So I was like, oh, this is interesting. In the Dharma, in the suttas, we hear a lot about binding is a word that comes up a lot. But I was like, this tangle is really interesting. And then I was like, this little poem, this little jingle, jangle, whatever we want to call it, right, was like 2,600 years ago, and they were talking this way. And I guess what pulled me in, besides the language, was the fact that, again, in 2,600 years, we have not learned how to untangle the tangle. We are still working with this. And Buddha, what does Buddha say? He spouts his wisdom, and he says, well, Jata, he said, those that are established in virtue, that are discerning, those that are ardent and astute, they untangle the tangle. He goes on to further say, those that passion and aversion and ignorance have faded away, for them, the tangles are untangled. And then he wraps up and he's like, name, form, along with perception of imprisonment and form, totally stop without trace. That is where the tangle is cut. And this is what we talk about. If we go back, you know, established in virtue, those are the precepts. Some people take them daily. Some people live this. If we go on retreat, we adhere to the five precepts, being non-harming. You know, I don't like to say non-killing because it's really non-harming. Of course, we're not going to kill, but it's further and deeper than that. The second, not stealing, not taking what is not yours. Third, the misuse of our sense pleasures. A lot of times, you know, the focus gets on sex, but it's all of our sense pleasures. All six of them, not misusing them. Right speech. And that's not just about profanity. That's about committing to the truth, not exaggeration and hyperbole. How many times do we do that? And then, of course, abstaining from intoxicants. This is his first advice. Like, you want to become untangled from the tangle. Let's start with this. And we work on this in all different levels all the time, do we not? You know, once we hear about these, we begin to be mindful of those precepts. The second one, passion, aversion, and ignorance. Passion, here in that language translated from Pali 2,600 years ago, passion being greed, not passionate as enthusiasm, but passion of those sense pleasures being out of whack. Because ardent means passionate, enthusiastic, and he said that before. So, and then, of course, ignorance. So these are things that we work about and that we talk about regularly. I love, Todd brought up a couple weeks ago, talking in the practice meeting, a lot of this stuff is repetition. And yes, it is. We need to get good at something to really understand, to investigate. We need to hear these things over and over again. I certainly do. And then the last one is kind of what Dave was talking about. It's the five aggregates, also known as the skandhas or the kleshas. I love the kleshas. The Sanskrit is veils. These are veils that cover up our clear seeing, which are our form, ourselves, our perceptions, what Dave was talking about. These sort of things, if we are aware of them and in tune with them, cut the tangle. Short little sutta. That's all you have to do to cut the tangle. Of course, we know it's just a little bit harder than that. It is not work for the weary. We laugh here. We've done this kind of a last few times, or maybe I just keep bringing it up, but it's like we think mindfulness and meditation is calm and it feels good, and maybe we can close the door and the rest of the family leaves us alone for 10 minutes, and we're like, yeah, I like this thing. And then we come to a Dharma talk and we start talking to other people who are drawn to this. We're like, oh crap, what did I get myself into? But at the same time, it's freeing. There's this, yes, we're remembering. I like to tell people that we're really not learning this. We are remembering this. There seems to be some sort of feeling that when we hear these teachings and it's laid out to us like this, or we're in dialogue, it's more like, oh yeah, I knew that. But we forget. So it's like we are remembering to an extent. So the Jata Sutta. And the rest of the sutta is, he's like, thanks, Buddha. And he goes and he's like, I know what to do. Snip, snip. And then he became, you know, he was enlightened and just really easy. Just thinking about are suffering in just a slightly different way, just turning the dial a little bit. And the only last thing I'd like to say before we sit here is just this idea. For me personally, when I get entangled, and I do this all the time, so it's just kind of funny, it's a stickiness. To me, it's a felt sense. And so when something is not going the way I want it to go, or somebody says something, or something's sticky, I know that my view is messed up. It's askew, because the focus is on me. If I am able to catch that through mindfulness in my practice, which is becoming a little bit easier, I blow the view out and I look at the worldview and I take everyone else's feelings or whatever it may be into consideration. And you know what happens? The stickiness goes away. And to me, as you, some of you know, that is the real core of my practice, is the interconnectedness, the seeing myself in everything and everyone around me. And that helps me get out of the tangle. And if I can't get out of the tangle, I also feel really connected, because I think by your shares, you experience this as well. So it's a common humanity thing. It's a common experience. I'm not by myself suffering. So hopefully you had a little fun. You learned the Jata Sutta. like I did a week ago. And I'll talk a little bit more about how next month, how you can access different suttas. And if you want to play the random sutta, if you're odd like me. Okay, so we're going to do a little sit here. I will ring the bell once to begin and three times to end. So settle in. If you need to adjust your seated position, please do so. And as we did at the beginning, just beginning to feel your body in space, recognizing where you're at, feeling the weight of your body on the cushion or your chosen seat. And tapping into your breath, just observing your unique pattern of inhalation and exhalation. And if you've been doing this for a little while, it's a little bit like Thich Nhat Hanh said, coming home, this space that you cultivate as your temple, as your safe space. A moment to pause and connect and reflect. Coming back to the breath, if we notice our mind solving the world's problems, we're planning out the rest of the evening. Or using the sounds in the house and outside of the house to bring us back to the present moment. And the beauty of our mind and our thoughts and the conditioning of our mind is that it can be changed through mindfulness and awareness. We just need to practice. So for the next few minutes, just trying to be as effortless as possible in our awareness as we sit here together. How effortless can you be in your sit? I'd like to dedicate the merit of this practice to all beings, far and wide, without exception. May they find an end to suffering and find peace. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for listening. We know your time is valuable, so we are grateful you choose to spend it with the MOI community. This podcast is supported by listeners like you. To make an offering, please visit us at mindfulnessoutreachinitiative.org. And tune in each week for more Dharma talks, reflections, and teachings centered in the Insight Meditation tradition.